The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
At the end of each year, we reflect on events which have been defining. Though this year has nearly made us wrecked, at least there's a silver lining. Trump has been great for comedy, but bad for the world. Look at all the great satire which around him has swirled, from SNL to Colbert to Sam B, John Oliver, Seth Meyers, and me. The guy has been inspiring, it's clear, for finding humor in what's been a hell of a year. Trump has been great for humor, for the English language frightful, making up new words and spewing insults to be spiteful of Twitter nonsense. There's a bevy, unprecedented, Bigly, Covfefe. I agree there's real work to do, but frankly, sometimes we just need a laugh or two. Trump has been great for comedy, but bad for the country. When his EPA gets through, we'll probably just have one tree. He caters to Koch brothers' dreams, but hey, we got some funny memes. Of course, we'd all be better off with Hillary. But Trump is so much easier to pillory. Trump has been great for comedy, but bad for everything else. Denying climate change while storms and fires rage and the ice cap melts. He's lousy for minorities. He sure won't put the poor at ease. But his lies and the tantrums that he throws at least rejuvenated late night shows. Now we must fight while rights and norms they whittle, but we also need to laugh a little. So let's let off steam until we reconvene, 'cause we've got a lot to do in 2018.
That's an understatement. Welcome to a brand new year. It is the 2nd of January, 2018. I'm Nicole Sandler. Welcome to the show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. I hope you had a wonderful holiday and are back rejuvenated and ready to go. I'm rested, and that's about it. You know, sadly, the world is still here. There's some news, a little bit, as it were. Orrin Hatch announced he's retiring at the end of this term, so that's good. The sycophant in chief. You know, the guy who was sucking up to Trump, just about a week ago or so, when he, what did he say? Something like he'll go down as the best president in history or some other bullshit like that. He's not running for re-election. So it looks like Mitt Romney will run for that Senate seat. That should be fun. Sad news, I think, in that Al Franken has officially resigned. His resignation took effect at 12 noon Eastern today. And the more I think about it, the more I think he got the short end of the stick here. He was played. As the Democrats often are, the Republicans are just so much better at dirty pool. And I'm afraid that, you know, we're going to have more of that in this coming year, which is really sad. I wanted to start the year off on an optimistic note. You know, I guess we could laugh at the fact that Michelle Bachmann says she's consulting with God as to whether or not she'll run for Al Franken's seat. I know. You thought you'd heard the last of Michelle Bachmann. I did too. But it's up to God. Yeah. And yes, and what else? Trump is taking credit for no airline crashes this past year. Meanwhile, thank you to Cable News for pointing out that there have been no domestic airline crashes, what Trump took credit for, since 2009. No deaths, no, you know, domestic commercial airline crashes since 2009. But of course, he takes credit for everything. You know, if I don't make New Year's resolutions, but if I were going to make one, maybe it would be that I will try to have more fun at his expense. I find it hard to laugh at him though, because he's serious in his inanity. Is that the word, inanity? In his idiocy. And that doesn't mean that I think he's stupid. I actually think he's a pretty smart man. I just think he's numb to the ways of the world. There was a report I read over the break that he does not ever ask his chief of staff how other presidents have done things, because he thinks he knows better than everybody else, which is really, truly frighteningly sad. We have Kim Jong-un, who says that he has completed his nuclear program, that he's got nukes. He's got a button on his desk, the same way that Dump has a, you know, Diet Coke button on his desk, but that he won't push it unless he's threatened first. But there's Trump threatens constantly. In fact, today, in one of his twit storms, he was calling him Little Rocket Man again. This man does not understand common human decency or how to just get along in life without provoking others. He thinks it's like you poke a stick at something and it's not going to come and bite you. What is Call Me Tripp in the chat room just wrote, someone just asked Sarah Sanders whether Trump will be keeping the Obama holdover in charge of commercial airlines, given the great jobs he's ostensibly doing. Ah, that's funny. She stammered and didn't answer. Yes, Sarah Sanders holding her first White House press briefing of the new year. And I'm glad, you know, as always, she was a little late, so I didn't get to watch it today. And Gotta Laugh is not live tweeting it because it's Tuesday and she's here with us today. So I have a favor to ask of you as we start this new year. Your suggestions, any guests you would like for me to try to get on the show, people you think would be great to have, people that maybe you've heard in the past that you haven't heard from in a while, topics you'd like to, you know, cover, feel free to send me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, or you can tweet to me @NicoleSandler, all one word. It's pretty easy to get a hold of me online. I'm just out there in more ways than one. So like I said, it's Tuesday. Laffy did live tweet. She live tweeted a bit, I guess, before it was showtime. Well, we'll talk about it when Laffy comes on. So I'll tell you what, I've got a new What's News, our first of the new year. So we'll take care of that. And then we'll bring Gotta Laugh on and see if we can't muster a laugh or two, shall we?
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's back to work time for the Senate while the House of Representatives is out for another week. But leadership of both chambers head to the White House on Wednesday to try to begin untangling a mess of issues on the calendar this month. Funding the government, stabilizing the Affordable Care Act, renewing the Children's Health Insurance Program, dealing with DACA, boosting border security, and raising the debt limit among them. Government funding runs out on January 19th. Democrats want a fix for DACA and stabilizing Obamacare as part of a deal to keep the government open. Meanwhile, the nation is in a deep freeze.
Guys, it is freezing literally across the country, and temperatures are well below normal. Today's highs, and you can see running about 15 degrees below normal on the East Coast. But then once you get into the upper Midwest, 15 to 20 degrees below normal. So as we go through the day today, we are going to see temperatures warm just a little bit, but not much at all. This wind chill threat stretching all the way from North Dakota all the way down to central Florida. Here's why. Wind chills, teens and 20s all the way down to Florida, 10 and 20 below zero up in the Dakotas. And so we are talking about a deep freeze gripping all of the country, feeling like only 2 degrees in New York. But it's not over. We do have this winter storm that's going to develop later in the week. We already have storm watches in effect for the low country, and this is going to continue up the coast. Wintry mix for the Carolinas and then up into New England by the time we get into Thursday. So we could look at the first nor'easter of 2018.
Iran's supreme leader on Tuesday blamed the protests there on enemies of Iran, who he said were meddling in its internal affairs. A state television reported that overnight clashes between protesters and security forces killed another 9 people. The largest demonstrations seen in Iran since its disputed 2009 presidential election have brought 6 days of unrest across the country and resulted in at least 21 deaths.
Crowds ripped down posters of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. They're angry about corruption and rising food and fuel prices. There you can hear people chanting, "The students are free."
Yeah, in fact, in the last few minutes, we've heard that Iran's defense minister has spoken, and it's sort of echoed in a way what we've been hearing from the president. And it's sort of what you would expect. He is saying that some of the problems are being fomented by an outside hand, by he's not naming countries, but he is pushing the blame outside the country. But he is also accepting that there are economic issues that need to be dealt with. And he said that the country's issues should be dealt with peacefully. But again, like we've heard from the president and others, a very strong message that people who are protesting should not foment disorder and should not break the law. This is the tone that's now being set by the government, which is interesting because there is an acceptance that these fundamental basic economic issues, the high unemployment, 25% for the youth, the increase in the rate of inflation, all of these are real issues. And there's a recognition here that this is something different that they're dealing with, and it's being expressed not just in economic terms, as we're hearing, but also in calls that are aimed at the theocracy, that are aimed at the fundamental supreme leader of the country.
In addition to targeting Iran, Trump has been tweeting about Pakistan. In his first tweet of 2018, the president said that the U.S. had foolishly given Pakistan $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years, and they've given us nothing but lies and deceit, thinking of our leaders as fools, adding, quote, "They give safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan with little help, no more." Pakistan's defense minister responded on Twitter, writing that they, as an anti-terror ally of the U.S., had given Washington land and air communication, military bases, and intelligence cooperation that, quote, decimated al-Qaeda over the last 16 years, while America has given us nothing but invective and mistrust. The new year brings with it some new laws. From NBC News.
The new year brings retail sales of recreational marijuana to the nation's most populous state. It's legal today in California for adults over 21. Rules are strict. It must be sold in sealed, child-resistant packages. Shops must close by 10 p.m. Oregon bans selling cigarettes to anyone under 21, including e-cigarettes known as vapes. It's the fourth state to do so. Maine becomes the fifth in July. A new law in Tennessee makes it illegal to drive through a school zone while holding a cell phone. That includes texting or reading, even talking. Drivers under 18 can't use the phone at all in school zones, even hands-free. New York today begins enforcing the nation's most comprehensive law requiring employers to give paid family leave, eventually up to 12 weeks a year, such as when there's a newborn or a sick family member at home. In Vermont, the boss can no longer demand usernames or passwords to get into the social media accounts of employees or job applicants. Gun owners in California starting today cannot get ammunition through the mail. They must buy it in person at a licensed dealer, a step toward eventual background checks.
The new year brings a 1.9% pay raise for the nation's 2 million federal workers, on average $140 a month.
And that's our first look at what's news for 2018. I'm Nicole Sandler, planning to continue our What's News reports and the Nicole Sandler Show this year. But I need your help. My work is 100% listener funded. If you can, please help support my efforts. Find out how at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes, it is Tuesday, and every Tuesday we get together with our friend Gotta Laugh, from, you know her from Twitter and thereabouts, and we, you know, we talk about what's happening in the news. So, hello.
Yes, you've reached the 2018 hotline.
Oh, okay. Well, it's 2018.
Indeed. Press 1 if you think 2018 is the number of women who Trump has sexually assaulted since the new year began.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm. It was just an estimate. Mm-hmm. Press 2 if you think 2018 is the number of lies Trump has told since the new year began.
Oh, easily.
And press 3 if you think 2018 is the number of times Trump has congratulated himself since the new year began.
At least.
Have a nice day.
The self-congratulatory stuff is a bit much. I mean,
oh my God, today's tweet storm. The self-congratulations about flight safety.
Yes,
I have a couple of
safety
tweets about that we can do. But whoa.
Yeah.
He's insane. I mean, he's not even hiding his insanity anymore. He's not couching it in, I don't know what he used to couch it in, but it's just like blatantly out there now. Hi, I'm insane, and I'm going to say something completely stupid, and then I'm going to have my press secretary go out there and defend it.
Yeah, but that's insane. You know, it's been that way since the beginning. I mean, it's since day one. Think about it. It's been almost a year. Since he sent out Spicy to talk about the biggest inaugural crowd ever, you know, and I can't believe it hasn't even been a year.
I know. I can't, you know, I already hate 2018. I'm just hoping it'll get better. But today was just one of those insane days. And I watched a good part of the press lying, you know, the White House lying session with Huckabee S. I wasn't paying a lot of attention, but I saved a couple of tweets for us. So if you want to go right to Tweet Spot, I can start with those.
Okay, we can do that. We do that
sure.
Like this.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
Yeah, so Twitter has been busy today. I stayed off of Twitter for the most part over the break. I tried to stay away from the news. Not that there was much news. So much of it was recapping the year. And every time I turned it on, it's like, no, we already lived through that. I don't need to live through it again.
I felt the exact same way. I did not watch one retrospective. I couldn't stand the same cycle of new, you know, of looking backwards over and over again. We already know.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it repeated to us ad nauseum at the time. So who needs it? Anyway, I only saved, I think, two or three tweets from today's lying session. But John Harwood tweeted out, White House Press Secretary Sanders criticizes Iran's leaders for enriching themselves via corruption. No self-awareness. None.
None.
Zero.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And then the golf question. Okay, I wrote this one out. I didn't hear her entire answer, but one of the reporters was asking, you know, what's up with this golf every day, and he's criticizing Obama, but look, you know, look at what he does. And the part that I caught, Huckabee S. said that he was building strong relationships with Congress members who play golf with him. So it's, you know, it's cool.
I see. No, I remember seeing, I didn't save the tweet, but I remember seeing one that said, Christmas Day, Trump says, back to work tomorrow. And Christmas Day was Monday, right? So Tuesday,
right.
Golf, Wednesday, golf, Thursday, golf, Friday, golf, Saturday, golf, Sunday, golf.
Yes, exactly. I put out a chart that somebody, you know, made up that showed that visually. And boy, did the trolls hate that. I don't think I put any troll tweets up. Maybe I did. Oh, I did in the ones that we're going to read next. But they went after anything about the golf thing. They couldn't stand the vacation time tweets.
You know, this is what I don't get. Trump was one of the biggest critics of Obama going golfing. And Obama golfed occasionally. Nothing, mm-hmm. nothing like what Trump does. The thing yeah. that makes Trump's golfing so much worse is that we pay for it. And the money right. that we pay goes back into Trump's pocket. I mean, we've paid, it's like $90 million so far. And I'm not exaggerating. I think that might actually be a conservative estimate for Trump's golfing. And we have to pay for the rental for the golf carts for the Secret Service who go along with him. I mean, it's...
And the hypocrisy where he hides behind the bushes. You know, he doesn't want the reporters in and right. seeing him play. So they one day a big, huge white van pulled up so you couldn't see through the bushes. Another time, you know, they were near the hedges and they were ducking the press. It's just crazy. It's just so hypocritical. And I'm really tired of. I mean, I know the press has pointed out the hypocrisy, but I wish Republicans would, you know, I know why, but I wish they'd get off their butts and start doing their job and criticizing him where he needs criticism, which is basically everything. But okay. Our buddy LOL GOP. Okay, so we're talking about Orrin Hatch leaving, you know, retiring, and also the head of the, the Transportation Committee also mm-hmm. retiring.
In the House, yeah.
House, yeah. Anyway, LOL GOP, our buddy, he said Mitt Romney to head to the Senate because, you know, Orrin Hatch is leaving, where he can be another Trump critic who punishes Trump by voting with him 109% of the time.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly right.
Right.
People, I'm looking at Twitter and people are saying, well, you know, at least, you know, Mitt's more reasonable and at least Mitt Romney, you know, he'll probably stand up to Trump. No.
Oh, like Jeff Flake?
No, yeah. He's not gonna stand up. He's gonna vote right with everybody else.
Yep.
He may be vocal. He may be a little bit of, more vocal than some, but he no. He'll
right.
vote with everybody else.
Right, like Bob Corker.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. It was so frustrating that everybody thought he was the paragon of whatever, but ended up disappointing everybody who fell for that crap. Anyway, Susan Hennessy, who's the Lawfare executive editor, she said Hatch's final act of service to the people of Utah should be to use his authority as chair of Senate Finance to request Trump's tax returns and pledge to say on record if he is concerned by them. After all, if there's nothing to hide, would be tremendous favor to his pal POTUS.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be nice? That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if they're leaving Congress, I know why, but they still won't stand up to him and speak the truth out to the world.
Well, Orrin Hatch lurves Donald Trump.
Exquisite.
Right. But, you know, when I talk about Jeff Flake or Bob Corker, they don't have that same affinity for the man. I guess Bob Corker used to, but then he came out as more reasonable, but he still won't vote against him or do anything to show him in a bad light.
Right. There's only a handful who will vote against him, and mostly it's because it's safe. They know that whatever is up for, you know, whatever bill is up for a vote will pass, so they can afford to say no.
Well,
but overall, no. Oh, here's another Sarah Sanders related tweet. Manu Raju, CNN,
uh-huh.
he says, Sarah Sanders, asked about Trump taking credit for the lack of airplane crashes, says, quote, the president has raised the bar for aviation safety and scrutiny. So basically she skirted it. They just can't admit to anything.
It's unbelievable.
It is. It's if they gave an inch, they'd automatically get more credibility from the press, but they won't even give an inch.
This is the president who bragged about getting rid of regulations, you know?
Exactly.
And regulations that are meant to keep the public safe.
Now, here's the tweet. Since taking office, I have been very strict on commercial aviation. Good news. It was just reported that there were zero deaths in 2017, the best and safest year on record. Forgetting, of course, that since 2000, well, since 2009, there have been none. But right. So we have to thank Obama. So David Korn responded. He said, "So Trump, does this mean you're willing to take responsibility for all the gun deaths in 2017?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then Harold Iskowitz, who loves to tweet about Trump, he said, "When people die because they can't get health insurance, you'll accept responsibility for that, right?"
Of course he will.
Mm-hmm. Sally Yates tweeted today.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Now, she was responding to this tweet by Trump. Crooked Hillary Clinton's top aide, and spelled aide wrong. He spelled the word
A-I-D.
God. Huma Abedin has been accused of disregarding basic security protocols. She put in caps, classified cap, passwords into the hands of foreign agents. Remember sailors' pictures on submarine? Jail. Deep State Justice Department must finally act. Also on Comey and others. Okay, that whole tweet was so just weirdly
disjointed.
Yeah. So she said POTUS, this is Sally Yates now, former deputy attorney general. POTUS on 1228, quote, "I have the absolute right to do what I want with the Justice Department." Today, he slanders career DOJ professionals as, quote, deep state, calls for prison for a political opponent, and tries to sic DOJ on a potential witness against him. Beyond abnormal, dangerous.
He is dangerous. That's the thing. And that's why we're so freaked out. Again, I mean, it's January 2nd. He hasn't even been in office a year. And here we are already. Ah!
Exactly. Oh my God, that is exactly how I feel. I woke up kind of dazed, you know, a little bit like in this nice lull from being off for a week and just enjoying everything around me a little bit. And I got back into news Twitter and it was like being smacked in the face.
Yep. Or you punched in the stomach, more like it.
Yeah,
like right
I
in the
think
gut.
That's more like it.
Ugh,
yeah. Just terrible. Anyway, Jason Uckman, I think it is, managing editor at Stat News, a newish site about science.
Okay.
He quotes, or he actually linked to, an article from that site. Several drug makers just raised their prices by nearly 10%. And he tweets, "It's been a year this month since Trump said drug companies were, quote, getting away with murder. This story is from today."
Okay, I missed that. But
okay, so he's tweeting this story. Let me see, get the full headline for you. Several drug makers just raised their prices by nearly 10%, and buyers expect more price hikes. And his comment is, "It's been a year this month since Trump said drug companies were getting away with murder."
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, that was one of many promises that this guy made. Oh, we're going to bring drug prices down. He talked about how horrendous it was, how big pharma, they're thieves, and you know, we got to bring drug price. Everything he said was a lie. Every single thing. I can't think of anything that he said that he didn't lie about. From you know, not getting entangled in foreign affairs, pretty much. Basically, we were going to be more of an isolationist country. Meanwhile, all he's doing is warmongering around the planet. From Pakistan.
Not only that, but he was the one who was the, quote, peace candidate, right?
Yes.
I mean, people who were voting against Hillary were saying, well, she's going to start a war, so I'm going to vote for Trump. And today, another American was killed, and 5,000 troops are being sent over there, and our troop level is way up from what it was. So, peacenik? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. No, that's right. He had his people saying Hillary was the one who was going to get us involved in a war. You know, I'll be shocked if we make it to this time next year without having been embroiled in a new war.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine not. And I'm terrified about what's going on with North Korea and now Iran. But that's a whole other fear.
And so Pakistan, who's also a nuclear power.
Oh, God, yes. His tweets about Pakistan today.
Unbelievable.
I may have a tweet about that. I don't remember. No, I don't. But Nikki Haley was also opening her big trap today. So she's calling an emergency meeting. Oh, I wish I had that tweet. I've lost it somewhere. But all of this, all three now, are just making my hair stand on end. Quinn Cummings, you know Quinn Cummings, actress turned writer.
Actress, right?
She's fantastic. She's quoting a tweet here from Talking Points Memo, quoting Ben Sasse. It's not helpful to call the press the enemy of the American people, he says. And she says, wow, another 30 or 40 vertebrae and he might be able to stand upright. She's so good.
That's funny.
I've become such a huge fan of her tweets. I've got to read something that I know she's been writing. I've got to read something of hers. But she and I are Twitter pals, and we like to trade little snark like that. And she outdoes me 1,000%. She is fantastic. I highly recommend following Quinn Cummings at Quincy, Q-U-I-N-N-C-Y. And my last of today's is Ian Millhiser from Think Progress, and we like him. Three horrifying thoughts that just hit me. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking these thoughts today, and he actually, like, it's like he got inside my mind and tweeted them. He said, one, Trump will soon deliver another State of the Union address. Okay, first of all, Nicole, I was just talking to Mr. Laffey about that last night, and I said, do you realize that we have to sit through another State of the Union? And he said, well, I don't. And right. I said, well, I do, because I have to be able to talk about it, and oh my God, I don't want to listen to it.
Yep.
He's going to sit there and hold up the electoral map again. He's going to brag about the tax cuts. He's going to brag about everything else he's been bragging about on Twitter that are absolute lies and that are not worth bragging about. And we have to sit there and watch the Republicans applaud as the Democrats sit on their hands.
Yep.
It's also predictable.
It's almost unbelievable. I mean, again, this is one of those, we are living through a time that is such a bad B movie that that's one of those things. If somebody submitted a script and said, a guy who is a reality show, you know, failed businessman who went bankrupt 13, 18 times or whatever it was, who was then given a reality TV show, becomes president and is a, you know, a narcissistic megalomaniac who lies about everything. They'd laugh you out of the office.
They would. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Here's the rest of the tweet. So three horrifying thoughts that just hit me. Trump is going to do the State of Union. Number two, he probably will not smear feces on himself during the speech. Number three, the political press conclude that he is pivoting to being more restrained and presidential.
Seriously,
is that perfect? Of course that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen.
Yes.
Oh, here, thank you, Call Me Tripp. Nikki Haley, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., said $255 million in assistance is being withheld from Pakistan, citing the Trump administration's belief that Pakistan is not doing enough to fight terrorism. All right, today's tweets, you've got those with me. So Slate was reporting that Trump said he signed more laws than any president since Truman. He's actually signed the least. And Ted Lieu, our buddy, our representative out here, Ted Lieu replied, there are only two credible explanations here. Either POTUS knows he is lying or he has a distorted view of reality. I'm thinking it's the latter, because why would a person lie about a fact that is so easily verifiable? Gaius Publius, our friend, and who's on your show, replied to that. He said, third explanation, and in my opinion, the best, Trump doesn't use words, and I really agree with this, Trump doesn't use words to express facts, but to influence feelings. Truth is and was never a factor.
You know, that is a really good point. It's true.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the concept of truth, I really believe. He just comes up with these ideas.
Yeah.
And uses them, his whole, like, Make America Great Again.
Right.
His slogans. He comes up with slogans.
That was stolen.
That, pithy, that was stolen. It was, okay.
Was it, I think Reagan came up with that one, and he
Did
just
he?
Took it and took out one word. I can't remember. I'll have to Google it. But yeah, it wasn't an original. Make America Great Again wasn't original.
But still, he comes up with slogans. He's about branding. This is his whole thing. And it doesn't matter that nothing is true. Truth is not a concept that he's familiar with. It's just what's going to work, what sells.
And that's the thing. He aims those emotional lies at his willing supporters who thrive on them. Now, the rest of us may, you know, raise an eyebrow, like if you're an independent who voted for him and goes, wait, this is too much. And then there's the rest of us who from the beginning thought he was full of it. But his supporters fall for that emotional magnet that he baits them with, those emotional laden tweets about deep state and everything else that he lies about, because they hit them where they live. You know, he hits them where they live. And so they bite. And that's how he hangs on to voters.
Yeah, it's also the Fox effect. We can't forget that. I mean, he's got this major echo chamber. And so a lot of his lies are not even original lies. He picks them up from them and he amplifies them.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, not only is his slogan stolen, but so is most of his tweets. He just watches Fox and Friends in the morning and picks up on that and runs with it. So, yeah. All right. So Dean Obadala, comedian and commentator, has a radio show on Sirius XM. He and I had a troll going after. So I retweeted Dean and I'm going to be reading you those. But the troll was going after Dean for being, quote, unfunny and basing his humor on his religious identity only, and called him a dishonest piece of shit.
That's the direct quote, right?
That's a quote. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Dean answered, "I so appreciate your honest in your bigotry. Too many Trumpers pretend it's about economic anxiety. We need more people like yourself to make it clear that that is BS and it's all about your bigotry. So thank you for helping me to make my case. Happy New Year and enjoy the blue wave." And then the troll came back at him again for using his, being a Muslim and using that for his humor. And he says, "Yeah, you got me. I get on stage in New York City comedy clubs and don't tell any jokes. Instead, I just talk about my Muslim identity. People love it."
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, those were going around Twitter, and I thought they were tweet-worthy mentions because he's so good. He just is. And these trolls are so... Well, they're just so racist.
You know, I see you going after trolls all the time, and the trolls with, like, you know, 6 followers.
Oh yeah, I love exposing them. I get most of them deleted. I get, you know, Twitter comes back at me with a report and says they've violated rules, and I go back and they're gone. I do that to alert my followers, and also I like to shine a spotlight on the idiocy. And then when I answer them with fact, I do that not for them. People go, "Why do you bother? They're not going to believe you." It's not for them that I do that. I do that for everybody else who's reading.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if you ever need some facts, here's a link. You can use this to answer anybody else who challenges you. So that's why I do that. It's whack control and block.
Right.
So there. And it works. Okay. So The Hill had a headline: homicides, shootings fall in Chicago in 2017, despite Trump saying city's crime hit epidemic proportions. And Anna Marie Cox replied, "It's almost as if he was just a lying racist."
Almost as if.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get the name of this one.
Dandia
Assad, a student who specializes in the Middle East, a grad student. I think getting their master's. I can't remember. But anyway, quite infuriating to see all of these neocons supporting the protests in Iran and pretending to care about the Iranian people. You all were pushing to bomb and sanction the entire country when Obama was president. They still are, kind of.
Yeah, you know, but the whole issue of Iran is such a complicated one. You know, there are the leaders of Iran who are pretty fucked up. Then there are, like, the students and the young people. Iran is a very young country.
And it sure is.
Most of them would rather be here than there. And they're the ones who are out protesting now.
Right.
I feel very sorry for those people. Then you have Trump, though, with his false support of the protesters, egging on the leaders who, you know, he just wants to go to war with. It's like Trump wants to go to war with everybody.
Right. Right. And the thing is, this time around, the protesters don't have a single leader who started the protest. This is sort of an organic thing happening. It's a little different than what they were saying happened, you know, back, what was it, 2009?
Yep.
When there was a big
the Green Revolution.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But Trump, with these provocative, intentionally provocative tweets out, I don't know what he's trying. I mean, it looks like he literally wants to get us into a war.
Yes. And he doesn't care with who. I mean,
take your
choice. So, okay, they're Iran. We can go to war with them. We can go to war with North Korea. Hey, why not threaten Pakistan? They've got nukes. Why not go after them? You know,
it's amazing. And I'm hoping that the people who are reading his tweets, who are running these countries, recognize fully that they're meaningless tweets that are intended to get under their skin, and that they are more mature than Trump is. I'm hoping, you know, even I think Kim Jong-un, he may be immature, but he's not crazy.
Right. Well, even his New Year's statement, you know, where he didn't open the door to talking to South Korea, but South Korea, I guess, opened the door to talking with him. And he was open to sending athletes to the Olympics in South Korea. And then you have Lindsey Graham saying, well, if they're there, we're out.
Oh, did he say that? I didn't even see that.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, crazy Lindsey.
Oh,
he's going more and more berserk by the day. It's almost as if he were running for office again.
You think? I mean, he's the people will praise Lindsey Graham because once in a blue moon he'll pop out with something that makes sense,
right?
Or he'll support the right thing, or he'll have a moment of clarity.
Well, it's like John McCain, who did the right thing on health care, and then he turns around and goes against everything that, you know, he claimed that he was for. The whole, well, I'm for regular order. I'll only vote for something if it's regular, if we do it through regular order. That was his excuse for voting against the Obamacare repeal. But then he said he was going to vote for this tax scam, even though there was no regular order. There were no hearings. There were no committee hearings. There was no regular order there at all. They still did it through reconciliation. Now, granted, he wasn't there for the vote, but that had nothing. If he were there, he would have voted for it.
Right, of course. And his words of support might influence other people. So it's, you know, it's nothing to take lightly when he comes out for something, against something. It drives me nuts when people say, I've had so many people say to me, oh, I used to really like McCain, but he's changed. No, he hasn't.
No.
And why did you like him? Keating Five, cheating on his wives, one of them in bed with cancer. I mean, why would you like McCain? Because he has moments of clarity? Is that it? He's not a moderate.
No, McCain is not a good guy. I thought that was Newt Gingrich who was cheating on his wife, who was in bed with cancer.
I'm sorry, did I confuse the two? Wasn't McCain's wife also?
I don't remember that.
Somebody look it up for me, because if I start typing, I won't be able to concentrate. I swear to God, I thought it was him too. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking Gingrich. But even so, he cheated on one to go for the other. So, yeah. He's no piece of cake.
Yes. Mr. Maverick is only Maverick. Yeah, I think, yeah, McCain wasn't a cheater. That was
Newt. He wasn't a cheater? I swear to God, I thought, we'll have to ask Cliff. I thought he called his ex a cunt.
Oh, yes, he did call her a cunt. That he did. But I think it was I think Cindy McCain was his wife. I don't remember any other women involved.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting the two crazies mixed up then. Who cares? They're all about the same anyway. Honestly, I'm so fed up with Republicans, and I'm so fed up with people who think there are reasonable Republicans, because for every time a Republican in Congress has been reasonable, there are 55 times that they haven't been.
You think there's one who's showing that they've got a spine. You get, what's his name, Jeff Flake of Arizona, who writes that book and comes out and calls Trump exactly what he is, and then says, you know I'm going to lose, so I'm not going to run again. And he thought, all right, he'll actually speak up with a spine going along, you know, for however long he's still in Congress, calling out the bullshit. But then he goes and votes with him anyway. Vermont Gina said he courted his current wife Cindy for months before divorcing Carol Shep in 1980. He recently called the breakup of his first marriage my greatest moral failure.
Thank you. Okay. I knew there was something going on there. Yeah. I knew he wasn't loyal to the first wife.
There you go.
You know, so I'm sorry I mixed the two up, though. Okay, so Bette Midler just had a fun one I had to put out there. We love Bette Midler. She said the Russia probe began because Trump skunk George Papadopoulos got drunk and blabbed to an Aussie diplomat. Mueller, send this whole administration drinks. That's all you got to do, really. Get him drunk and they'll talk.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Works.
That was a good story, though, about Papadopoulos getting drunk and you know,
blabbing.
They can't talk about the dossier as the blame for blame the dossier anymore. It's just wonderful.
That is funny.
Good reporting. Melania Trump tweeted out, which, you know, it's nice, wishing everyone a joyous, healthy and prosperous New Year 2018. And David Korn replied, especially those families depending on CHIP, right?
Ooh, snap. Mm-hmm. Now they did extend CHIP through March. Gotta at least give them that. So all the kids who were going to be without health insurance today got a very brief respite, but we'll see what happens. We'll see if they fix it, you know, without saying, well, we have to cut Medicare in order to pay for CHIP.
But I was reading tweets that were saying that some kids were already without for a time. I don't know if it like retroactively helps them or not. But I was reading personal stories sent out by people saying, well, my kid, da, 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 you know,
in some states, they ran out of money. And I believe Connecticut was the first.
Maybe that was what I was reading about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would see some of these whiz by. I'd catch them. I'd read them.
Yeah.
I'd feel a pang, you know, like, oh, no. And then I'd be on to the next thing. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what it was. So Ezra Klein, who I find very boring, but he's smart. The more I think about the take that Trump's first year wasn't as bad as expected, the less I agree with it. A lot that could have gone wrong didn't. But the move toward war with North Korea has been sharper than I foresaw, and the risk there is gargantuan. And Tommy Christopher replied, he's writing for Share Blue now, also, those takes are a lot like a guy who gets pushed off an 8-story building, and as he passes the 6-floor window, says, so far, so good.
He must talk really fast. So far, so good.
Splat.
Yep.
Oh my, that was great. But that was such a good answer, Tommy. Thank you for that. That was so because I'm reading Ezra's and I'm going,
because I haven't heard the take that Trump's first year wasn't as bad as expected, because I think it was pretty fucking horrendous.
I think it was worse than expected, or about the same as expected.
About the same. Yeah. You know, there was the hope that, you know, think back before. I really think Trump got, as happens with a lot of older people, got brainwashed by Fox. I really think he got addicted to watching Fox and got brainwashed, like that movie, that documentary.
Right.
And now he's just got it on 24/7 and believes everything they say and echoes the conspiracy theories. I think, you know, before that, he used to give money to Democrats. He used to, you know, he used to be pro-choice. He used to be a Democrat. And I was hoping that part of the formerly reasonable part of him would surface and maybe there would be some good there. But oh my God, he was the worst Trump that he could possibly be. He's every ounce the nightmare that I thought was possible has
Absolutely.
Come to fruition.
I agree. I think. I mean, I didn't read this, but I'm guessing the reason a few people are saying it, well, it could have been worse, because he didn't get to get rid of Obamacare, and he only got. Only one Supreme Court justice, you know, was able to get in. Maybe there could have been more. Maybe somebody would have gotten sick and had to leave.
Right. But those are things beyond his control.
Yeah, see, right? That's exactly.
That's not his doing. He did everything he could do, and he could have, you know, he would have liked to do more. He just got stopped.
Well, I think that's the wording here. Ezra Klein saying the first year wasn't as bad as expected. It didn't say Trump wasn't as bad.
He could have already, you know, nuked North Korea or gotten us nuked by now.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. Right. So I guess that's a plus. Look what we're saying. Oh, good. We're not dead yet. So
yeah.
It's a great year.
There's that. We're not glowing.
I'm so thrilled to be breathing. Yes. Although the air is going to get worse. So at least, well, maybe California's air will be okay if we can somehow buck the federal laws they're trying to shove all over us. Anyway, headline, there were zero passenger fatalities. Oh, here we go. This is from the thing we were talking about. There were zero passenger fatalities from commercial passenger jet crashes anywhere in the world in 2017. That's from an NYU professor, Mark Kleiman. And he goes on to say, one of the most regulated industries in the world delivers near perfect safety in a naturally hazardous context. There's a lesson here for libertarians.
Yeah. Yes, yes. You know, regulations aren't all bad. His whole thing is for every regulation, for every new regulation, we're going to eliminate two or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't get that. I mean, I know they're saying that, you know, big government is regulating us, so we mustn't have that.
Right.
I don't get how they can ignore the word safety in there. They're regulating.
They don't care.
Things that, they don't. When I read now, FDA has approved new, you name it, you know, like genetic remedies or you know, gene therapy or a new pill or something. Mm-hmm. I no longer trust it because it's Trump's FDA.
Right.
I can't get past that. I'm afraid to put my trust in anything that they put out there. Now, yes, there are lifers somewhere in there. Maybe they're doing the work that I can believe, but you know, just like at DOJ or anywhere. But I just can't trust what's coming out of this government. So the regulations to me are absolutely mandatory, because if they lift them, we could die from whatever we're taking
right.
or eating.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That's not fun. Okay. So Joe Toplin, he used to write for Letterman and others like Jay Leno. He said a lot of people celebrated New Year's Eve with a party. Even Harvey Weinstein invited women to watch the ball drop in his bathrobe.
Ooh.
Happy Sue Year. yeah, that just got my eye.
Yeah.
And our somebody I just think is really reliable, Joe Serencioni. He's a nuclear specialist.
Right, Plowshares.
He said, what? I'm sorry?
From the Plowshares Fund, I believe.
Yes, I think you're right. Why do we fly nuclear bombers over bowl games? What is wrong with us that we so explicitly link sports to war?
That was a concerted effort by the Pentagon to promote mm-hmm. nationalism. That's why they do the national anthem at ball games and stuff like that. They didn't always do that.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
I really, it's like prayer before meetings. There are certain things I just don't want. You know, separate them out. You don't need to pray at a government meeting or a government event. You don't need to stand up, do the Pledge of Allegiance, or sing an anthem at a sports event.
Yep.
I just don't like that.
Nope.
At all. Craig Crawford. Remember Craig Crawford?
Yeah.
He was a Texas political commentator. Am I right? Was he from Texas?
I don't know where he's from. I do remember him, though. Yeah.
I just remember he had a kind of a drawl. Anyway, he said, Melania's parents live in the United States. Isn't that chain migration?
I would think so.
I think it is.
Yep.
I do.
Deport them.
I think it is.
Deport them. Damn it.
Yeah. Send them over that, over the wall. You know, the wall. So the LA Times has been putting out pictures of the wall prototypes because it would affect, you know, California, mm-hmm. where I am. And they just look so, I don't know how, it's just like futuristically bad, like scary movies from the future that we always see, where bad things happen and everything is kind of severe looking and without emotion and clean and forbidding.
Mm-hmm.
The walls are so hideous. They're just these monolith looking things, you know, these tall, bare, sort of futuristic looking, bad looking things. Some of them have where you can see through the bottom third of them.
Right.
Some of them don't have that. They are all in a row, these prototypes, whenever I see pictures of them.
Yeah, that's, they built them all in a row over a certain portion of land. Ugh.
It's so inhumane to even think about, and reminiscent of you know, the Berlin Wall, yep, and every other bad thing I can think of.
And that's what he wants. And that's what he wants in order to get DACA. We'll see, yeah, what happens with that, because that expires in March.
I really hope the Democrats aren't stupid enough to go along with this.
We'll see.
I just can't.
We'll see. Their
track record is
to quote well. Trump, we'll see.
Oh, please. We'll see. The ominous we'll see.
Yep.
Samantha Power, who was the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., she was reacting to Trump's tweet supporting Iranian protesters. And she says, so we stand with Iranian people so much that we won't let them come here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just true. He's so full of it. He's just so hypocritical.
Well, he is. That's his middle name. Isn't that what the J stands for? Hypocrite?
Hypocritical.
By the way,
you're funny.
You know, Orrin Hatch, back to Orrin Hatch for a moment. over the break, he was named by the big newspaper there, the Utah of the Year. Did you hear about this?
Yes. Talk about it.
And he tweeted, grateful for this great Christmas honor from the Salt Lake Tribune. Yeah. For the record, I voted for Spencer J. Cox and Rudy Gobert, 27, whatever, Utah poll. And then Amir, a doctor, Amir Amini, MD, tweeted back to him, if you had read the article, dear Orrin Hatch, you would have noticed that you were named Utah of the Year because your, and I quote, utter lack of integrity and unquestionable thirst of power represent the worst of Utah in every possible way. Congratulations. So he just saw that he was named Utah of the Year in a very sarcastic manner. And he tweeted that he was grateful for this great Christmas honor.
You know, that so reminds me of every single person ever who reads a headline, mm-hmm, comments on the headline, and doesn't
read
bother
the article.
To read a word.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And that's one of the problems with Twitter, because people do that all too often. It's like, would you click through and read the damn story?
Oh, exactly. I will read at least the first three paragraphs.
Right.
You know, if it's something long.
Right.
But the first three paragraphs usually will sort of recap, you know, or headline, you know, what this is about. And here's a couple of more details. So you get an idea of where it's headed. If you don't have, because I understand not having time to read every single thing. People send me things all day long. But just to go on a headline?
Yep. No, I hear you.
He made an ass of himself.
Well, what else is new? He made an ass of himself when he stood at the lawn of the White House and figuratively sucked Donald's dick.
Oh, did he ever? That was just, that day was the obvious equivalent of going around the table and having his cabinet praise him.
Absolutely.
But it was worse. They were so obsequious. Oh, you're just exquisite. You're the best ever. I want to be you when I grow up. And please, will you marry me, Donnie?
Yep.
I love you.
I love you. You're the best ever. You could be the best president ever.
Ever. And you're tall. You're so tall. I can look up to your double chins and say, I know this man. I sat next to him once. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Right. I got two more quick ones from Rebecca Berg, with Al Franken being gone, which still upsets me. The 2012 GOP field is back. Mitt Romney, Tim Pawlenty, and Michelle Bachmann are all now potential 2018 Senate candidates. Yes. How scary is that? And you'll like this one from John Dean.
Ah.
John Dean tweeted, nothing, absolutely nothing, in all caps, he writes, is more important in 2018 than taking the U.S. House from the GOP and beginning the end of Trump's horrific presidency. The well-being of the nation depends on it. Don't let a day pass without doing some act to help Democrats win control. Stop Trump.
Yep, I remember retweeting that one, and that was absolutely right. And the other thing I've been putting out there is, you know, make sure you're registered. There's that site, amiregistered.whatever. Make sure you're registered, because sometimes you're not, even though you think you are. If you've moved, you've got to make sure you're registered, or you've got to make sure to register. And then try to help other people register in any way you can. And then try to help other people get to the polls in any way you can.
Without a doubt. And again, it's not just November. This is going to be the year of the primaries, and primaries matter. So you've got to make sure you're registered now some of the primaries begin in March, and for some of them, if you want to say you know, vote in the Democratic primary, you need to be registered like by today. So you need to get on it now. Don't wait. And it is as if our lives depend on it, because they do.
They do. Vote.
Vote. Tomorrow, John Nichols is going to be joining us. You know, the nation every year does their progressive honor roll. So we'll salute some good progressives tomorrow. I thought we could use a bit of positivity.
Good.
So we'll do that tomorrow. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at laffiesplace.com. At NicoleSandler.com, and here every Tuesday. Thank you, Laffy.
Thanks for TweetSpot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.